Good morning. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6, that is the first passage we will look at here this morning. Jeremiah chapter 6. The lesson here this morning is titled, I Am Not Ashamed. And as we think about that statement, I am not ashamed, we want to recognize that there are times when it is appropriate for us to be ashamed, specifically when we have sinned against God. We see there in Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 15, God was rebuking some Jews there. He asked the question, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? And then answered the question. He says, no, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. These Jews had been guilty of sinning against God, and it was appropriate for them to be ashamed of that. But this passage here indicates they were not ashamed, and thus God was not pleased with them. And so I pointed that out just to help us see that the Scriptures teach that there are times in which we should be ashamed of something we have done. But we also see in Scripture that there are times when we should not be ashamed of certain things. We see that particular phrase, I am not ashamed, used two different times by the Apostle Paul in his writings. One was in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, as he talked about some of the sufferings that he faced as a servant of Christ, and he pointed out that he was not ashamed of this, and we'll get into more of that a little bit later on in the lesson. But then also in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, there I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so we see that Paul was emphasizing that he was not ashamed of God. He was not ashamed of his gospel. He was not ashamed to obey God. He was not ashamed of the things that he faced as a result of his choice to obey God. And so while we should be ashamed when we have sin in our lives, we should not be ashamed when we are right with God, of him or of the things that come as a result of serving him. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes here in our lesson this morning, is this phrase that Paul used, I am not ashamed, and want to consider some different things that we should not be ashamed of. These are things that we can be tempted to be ashamed of, but I want to consider some things that Scripture teaches about these things to help us understand that these are things that are pleasing to God and thus things that we should not be ashamed of. And so, for instance, there in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16, the inspired apostle there says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so first and foremost, we want to recognize that we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There can be a temptation for us to, who are Christians, to shy away from acknowledging certain truths that are given in Scripture. There can be a temptation for us to be ashamed and to speak things that we know to be truth revealed in God's will when it is appropriate for us to do so. But we should have this mentality that the Apostle Paul had, where he said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. He said, it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. And so as we think about the gospel of Christ that is revealed for us in his word, we want to recognize that this is the power of God unto salvation. This word of Christ is the power that leads individuals who respond to it appropriately to be saved and to spend eternity in heaven. And so there's no reason for us to be ashamed to declare it. There's no reason for us to feel guilty for promoting it. There's no reason for us to be embarrassed about it. There's no reason for us to apologize for the truths contained in the gospel of Christ. It is something that we have no reason to be ashamed of, as it is the power of God unto salvation. Over in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17 and in verse 17. There Jesus was praying for his disciples. And he prayed that they would be sanctified through God's truth. But he went on to say there, your word is truth. And so as we think about the word of Christ, we should recognize that it is the power of God unto salvation. It is 100% infallible truth. It is the means through which God speaks to mankind today. It is what will lead us from where we are to where we need to be if we will respond to it appropriately. This book is able to take someone from being lost in sin, facing eternal condemnation, to being right with God, awaiting eternity in heaven. It is a very wonderful book, and the truths contained herein are wonderful truths, and there's no reason for us to be ashamed of those truths of the gospel. But there can be a temptation for mankind to have the sort of mentality that's brought out over in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, there we see some of the Jewish rulers. It mentions believed on Jesus, so they acknowledged he is who he claims to be. But it says because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it. So might say they acknowledged in their own minds, but they weren't willing to confess it, at least not in the presence of the Pharisees. And it says the reason for this was so that they wouldn't be put out of the synagogue. And notice what God says is at the root of this in verse 43. He says, for they loved men's praise more than God's praise. If we find ourselves in a situation today where we have the ability and opportunity to share the truth of God's message with someone, or if we find ourselves in a situation today where someone asks us a question and we know what the biblical truth is, but we are too ashamed to give them what we know the biblical answer is. If we find ourselves in situations like this where God would have us to share with people the truth that is revealed in His Word, and yet we refuse to do so because we're ashamed, we may be just as guilty as these Jewish rulers of loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. Because what we're concentrating on when we have that mentality is, what reaction am I going to get from mankind, instead of concentrating on what does God view of this situation? What would God have me do here? Instead, the focus is on how does man perceive this situation? But even when we think about our fellow man and our interactions with them, this gospel is exactly what they need. If we really love their souls and don't just love the lack of contention, if you will, that we currently may have with them when we don't bring up things that we know they need to hear, if we love that more than we love their souls, then we might shy away from sharing things with them that will take them from where they are to where they need to be. But if we truly love the souls of those we come in contact with, we'll realize this is the good news that needs to be heard in order for them to be saved. Over in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 14. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 14, the Apostle Paul there had been speaking about the boastfulness of some Judaizers who would boast about keeping certain works of the law. But he said in verse 14, he's after pointing out the foolishness of boasting in keeping these works of the law, he says, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul was not somebody who believed it was appropriate to boast about his accomplishments in the Jewish faith, but he saw it very appropriate to boast about the cross of Christ and to share with people all that Christ had done. He was very eager to share that, to shout it on the rooftop, so to speak, for anyone to hear. He was very thankful that he had come in contact with this good news and he had been led to the truth, and he wanted to share this good news with others. This was the polar opposite of being ashamed of the gospel. He was very eager to share this gospel with his fellow man. And we see in the New Testament that Christians had this eagerness to share the gospel truth, not only among the apostles, not only among those who were preachers and elders and so forth, but even among really all the Christians, there was a great eagerness to share these truths revealed in God's, revealed by God, but been taught through the apostles at this time, but now it's revealed completely in the written word. But they were very eager to share this good news with others. We see this brought out over in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 4, before Paul was converted, he was a zealous persecutor of the church. And as he was persecuting the church, people were being kicked out of their homes and were leaving Jerusalem and going to surrounding areas. And notice what it says in verse 4 they were doing. It says, "Therefore those who were scattered abroad went around preaching the word." And so these were Christians who were being kicked out of their homes, and as they left and went different places, they were just preaching the word, sharing with others this good news about Jesus Christ. And I bring this out just to help us see the stark contrast between how God would have us to view His gospel message and the attitude of being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If we are ashamed of the gospel of Christ, we are totally missing the biblical view of the gospel, as the Bible presents the gospel as something that is a wonderful truth to share with everyone who we can as we have ability and opportunity, in order to help lead others to salvation. It is certainly not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to apologize for. It is something that is 100% truth that man needs in order to be saved, and we should view it as such. But not only should we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ itself, but we also shouldn't be ashamed of the lifestyle that we live in submission to the gospel of Christ. And that leads us into our next point, which is not being ashamed to change for Christ. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, here Peter is writing to Christians, and he tells them in these verses, "For we have spent enough of our past time doing the desire of the Gentiles, and having walked in lewdness, lusts, drunken binges, orgies, carousings, and abominable idolatries. They think it is strange that you don't run with them into the same excessive riot, blasphemy." Now there's several things that are brought out here in these two verses about the changes that need to take place in one's life after he or she becomes a Christian. Number one, this passage demonstrates that it is possible for us to change as Christ would have us to. We see these Christians had done just that. Number two, we see that it is necessary for us to change in certain ways in order to submit to Christ, as these individuals needed to give up these sins of their past as they submitted to Christ. But then number three, we see that when someone changes in order to submit to Christ, he or she is very likely going to be misunderstood by some. He or she is very likely going to have a reaction from some that is not pleasant and may lead to them being made fun of or being blasphemed, as we see here in this verse. But the Bible teaches us that if we change in ways that God wants us to, we have no reason to be ashamed of that. And a good example of that is the Apostle Paul. As you think about the drastic change that he made in his life, he had been zealously persecuting Christians as a Jew. And he was converted to a very zealous Christian. And after his conversion, if you can just imagine what it would have been like for him to have gone back to those Jews who he once was in agreement with, it may have been something that was very awkward for Paul. It may have been very difficult for him to go back and talk with some who he used to run with. But the Apostle Paul didn't shy away from the fact that he had made a drastic change in his life, and he wasn't ashamed of that change. He was eager to share his change in lifestyle with others, and he was eager to share with others what caused him to change and to try to help others make changes as needed as well. And we see this demonstrated over in Acts 26. In Acts chapter 26 and in verse 29, there the Apostle Paul was being tried before Agrippa, and Agrippa made his famous statement there in verse 28, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But in response to that, in verse 29, Paul said, "I pray to God that whether with little or with much, not only you, but also all that hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these bonds." So notice here that Paul was not ashamed to have made this drastic change in his lifestyle that he had made. Rather, he was very eager to share the reason for this change in his life with others. And he was very eager to tell others things that might help them to likewise repent and turn to Christ. He wanted this for everyone, and he didn't shy away from sharing that. He wasn't ashamed of this change that he had made for Christ. And this is the appropriate reaction we need to have toward any changes we make that are pleasing to God. It can be tempting if we are like those Christians Peter was addressing in 1 Peter 4. When we are confronted with individuals who we used to run with in certain sinful activities, and we might feel like we're left out, we might feel like we're no longer a part of the group that we've been a part of for a long time. We may feel awkward around them because of these changes that we've made. And there can be a temptation for us to take this approach of, "Well, don't worry, I'm still the same guy." And we don't want to have that mindset. Of course, there's certain things that may be the same. But with regard to our behavior and our conduct and our lifestyle, the very foundation of our lives is to change when we become a Christian. And that's not something that we should shy away from. That's not something that we should be ashamed of. It's not something that we really have reason to be embarrassed about, although it can be hard not to be embarrassed sometimes. But we really don't have reason to be embarrassed or feel guilty about that. If we have changed in ways that are pleasing to Christ, we have reason to be thankful that we had the opportunity to make that change and to do what we can to help others make that same change in their lives. And that's what the Apostle Paul did following his conversion. He was not ashamed to have changed in ways that pleased God. But this next one follows up upon the last one. When we make these changes in order to be more pleasing to God, what will result from that is that we will be very different from many in the world around us. And we want to understand there's no reason to be ashamed for being different for Christ. And we specify here being different for Christ. We're not talking about being different just for the sake of being different. Just as we, on the last slide, weren't talking about change for the sake of change. But when we change in ways that Christ commands, and we thus are different from the world in the ways that Christ desires, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Rather, that should help confirm our faith and help us to realize that we are doing what God would have us to do. If you look over in Romans chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2, there the inspired apostle says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God." So when he says there, don't be conformed to this world, he makes it clear that if as Christians we feel left out, we feel like we don't belong among friends and family members and neighbors and coworkers who aren't Christians, that's actually how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to fit in with the world around us. We're not supposed to be like the world around us in behavior and conduct. And again, there's certain things that God is indifferent towards that we may be similar to many individuals of the world. But with regard to what's at the foundation of our lives, which is our faith in Christ that guides us to be people who are transformed and new creatures pleasing to Him, that's to be the foundation of our lives. And if that's the foundation of our lives, it's going to make us a lot different than people in the world around us. And again, the Bible makes it clear that that's just part of being a follower of Christ. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, it may be something that helps give us confirmation that we're maybe on the right track. Because as we look at what the Bible teaches, the Bible makes it clear that there's a broad path that leads to destruction and a narrow path that leads to life. And in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus uses two words that are contrasted with one another to describe those going down the broad path and those going down the narrow path. Those going down the broad path, he says, are many. And those going down the narrow path, he says, are few. And when he uses those words, many and few, that indicates that the majority is going down this broad path that leads to destruction, and the minority is going down this narrow path that leads to life. And it's, the point of this is that if we are going down that narrow path that leads to life, we are going to be in the minority, and we are going to be very different from many in the world around us. But that's not something that should make us ashamed. That's something that we should just realize is a part of being a follower of Christ. And in fact, instead of being ashamed of it, we can actually look to those differences as something that can bring glory to God and can help lead others to follow after Him. And we see this brought out earlier on in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16, Jesus there, after talking about a lamp not being put under a measuring basket but on a stand to shine for everyone in the house, he uses that illustration in verse 15 to go on and say in verse 16, "Even so, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So Jesus here emphasizes that the good works that we do in service to God, Not only should we not be ashamed of them, but actually these good works can do a lot of good as others see them. They can help others be led to the truth, and they can bring glory to God. So we're not to be doing these works in a sort of hypocritical way, just to bring attention to ourselves. But at the same time, we shouldn't be ashamed of these good works, but rather realize when others see our example, that's something that can do a whole lot of good in bringing glory to God and leading others to Christ. And so the emphasis here is on not being ashamed for the differences that come when we submit to the will of Christ. And this is something else that can be a big temptation today, just as it was in the first century. When we are in environments where we feel like we're left out because many who we are with are engaging in immoral conduct of some kind, and we refuse to engage in that, we can feel left out in that situation. But we shouldn't apologize for that. We have no reason to apologize for submitting to the will of God. We have no reason to be ashamed of submitting to the will of God. Instead, we have reason to realize this is part of being a follower of Christ, is being set apart from people of the world, and just have to pray and do our best to help lead those individuals in the world to see the light as well. But if we are unashamedly declaring the gospel of Christ and making the changes that are needful to obey Him in order to be set apart from the world for His glory, then we are guaranteed to suffer for Christ at some point in our lives. And that leads us into our final point, which is that we should not be ashamed to suffer for Christ. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12, the Apostle Paul there had been talking about his own persecutions that he faced, and he went on to tell Timothy there in verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So he told Timothy, this isn't just something that is happening to me. This is something that is happening and will happen to everyone who is living a godly life in Christ Jesus. Now, we've pointed out before that this doesn't mean that every person who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus suffers physical persecution, but every person who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus at least suffers mental persecution. And again, this is confirmation, if we face this, that we are submitting to the will of God, if we are suffering persecution because of some stand for the truth revealed in His Word. Now, that doesn't mean that every time we suffer for any cause that we should never be ashamed of that. There are times when we may suffer for some sin that we have committed. We see this brought out in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. When the Apostle Peter there says, "For let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler in other men's matters." So we can consider each one of those sins listed there and realize that there are situations in which there's clearly a direct correlation between consequences of sins like that and the actual sin itself. And if we are suffering for sin such as that, then we should be ashamed. But he goes on to say in verse 16, if one of you suffers for being a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So if we are suffering as a result of our stand for the truth, then we are told that we should not be ashamed, but rather we should realize that God is glorified when we do that. And that leads us back to one of our opening passages in 2 Timothy 1:12, where we see Paul use this phrase, "I am not ashamed." He uses it there in connection to the sufferings that he faced as a servant of Christ's. He was, I believe, in prison at the time that he wrote this epistle and was likely nearing his death, which would he would suffer a martyr's death. But whether he was talking specifically about that or talking more generally about all the sufferings he'd faced as a servant of Christ, he pointed out that these things he's been suffering because of his stand for the truth. But he says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And so the Apostle Paul recognized that these sufferings that he was facing was a result of him submitting to the will of God. And as long as that was the case, there was no reason for him to be ashamed, but rather there was reason for him to continue submitting to the will of God. And so, thinking about how this may relate to a situation that we may face today, we are fortunate in the time and place we live to not have to face or have to see physical persecution being as common as it was in Paul's day and the time and place he lived. But if you think today about a situation where someone may be made fun of because he or she decides to forsake a fishing trip on a Sunday morning in order to come to services, it's just one example among a lot that we could consider, but if someone's made fun of for that choice, that would be suffering persecution. It may not be something that would immediately come to our mind when we think of suffering persecution, but that person is suffering in a mental way for his or her stand for the truth. And the proper response to that is not to become ashamed. It's not to feel like we need to be guilty or we need to feel guilty because of this, or we need to apologize and say, "Well, I'm sorry, I have to go to services." That's not the idea that God presents in his word. We have no reason to be ashamed for standing for the truth, even when we suffer as a result of standing for the truth. We don't need to apologize for what God reveals in his word, or for our choice to submit to what God reveals in his word. We just need to stand firm in the truth and realize that if we are doing so, God is pleased with us, and that's far more significant than what some man or woman thinks of us. And so tying all of this together, the emphasis here in these passages is on our choice to submit to the will of Christ and the challenges that are tied with that that can often make us feel ashamed if we're not careful. God tells us in his word, you don't need to feel that way. You just focus on serving me to the best of your ability, and how man reacts is on man. But the key is, what does God think of what we're doing? And if we're doing what's pleasing to God, then we have no reason to be ashamed. And that's the real key to these things that we've looked at in our lesson here this morning. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, one last passage we'll consider before we tie all this together. Jesus there had told his disciples he was speaking to that they should deny themselves and take up their crosses and follow him. And after telling them that, in verse 23, I think it was, down in verse 26, he tells them, "For whoever will be ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." And so Jesus wants us to unashamedly follow him, submit to his will. Don't be afraid to tell others the truth revealed in his will, and to practice it, and to accept the differences and even the sufferings that come as a result of that. And if we're ashamed of that, if we're ashamed to submit to him and his words, he's going to be ashamed of us on the day of judgment. So we should never be ashamed of Jesus and of submitting to his words. Instead, we should be joyful for the opportunity to submit to him and accept whatever hardships come along the way, but do so without being ashamed of our choice to submit to Christ. There might be some here this morning who have never made the choice in your life to submit to Christ. You've not made the choice to become a Christian. And if you are in that situation, we would encourage you to think about your soul's condition. Jesus here makes it clear that when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels, and I believe He's talking about the day of judgment there, He will be ashamed of those who were ashamed of Him. And that implies that if we don't have the courage and the faith to stand up and do what God says is right in His Word, don't expect God on the day of judgment to stand up and allow us into heaven. He's going to be ashamed of us if we demonstrate on earth that we're ashamed of Him. But we'd encourage everyone who is here this morning, if you have been ashamed of Christ, to repent of that and turn to Him moving forward. If you're someone who's not yet a Christian, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we'd encourage you to be willing to confess that. Don't be ashamed to confess that. It is a wonderful confession to make, a truthful confession to make, and it's a confession that is needful for you to be pleasing to Him and thus be able to enter eternity in heaven. And so we'd encourage you to make that confession, and upon making that confession, to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then to arise to walk in newness of life as a new creature if you've not yet done that. If you have done that, but you are struggling with something in your life that you would like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. So if you are here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, we'd encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing.